On this week's episode of Cultivating Her Space,
it is okay to have pride and confidence around your sexuality and your sexual skill, and being prideful about how you show up and about how you are received by others. And it's okay to affirm yourself in that way, because there are so many things in this world that would seek to cast shame upon us as far as how we choose to exercise our sexuality or express our eroticism.
Today's episode is sure to provide you with motivation, inspiration, or a fresh perspective. If you have any aha moments or appreciate anything from this episode, please leave us a review to let us know we're on the right track. Also, we release episodes every Friday, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit cultivatingherspace.com to access our exclusive after show and other bonus content from the Patreon tab.
Welcome to Cultivating Her Space, a podcast dedicated to uplifting women like you.
We're your hosts,
Dr. Dominique Broussard, a college professor and psychologist,
and Terry Lomax, a techie and motivational speaker. In a world where Black women are often misrepresented and misunderstood, please join us as we initiate authentic conversations on everything from fibroids to fake friends and create a safe space where Black women can just be.
Hey lady, it's Dr. Dom here from the Cultivating Her Space podcast. Are you currently a resident of the state of California and contemplating starting your therapy journey? Well, if so, please reach out to me at drdominiquebroussard.com. That's drdominiquebroussard.com to schedule a free 15-minute consultation. I look forward to hearing from you.
Lady, today we have a very special guest, and I am so excited. I feel like I say this a lot, but I'm so serious, y'all. I have to contain myself because just get ready for this conversation, okay? I'm going to jump into the bio, and then we're going to jump into the conversation, okay? Tyomi is a certified sexologist, authentic tantra practitioner, and international pleasure coach with over 12 years of experience in the sexual health field. Her down-to-earth approach to sexuality has garnered the views of millions of eyes around the globe via her Byspace YouTube channel and interactive social media presence. She is the founder of sex ed blog, GlamBotica101.com, and creator of the Cowgirl Workout, the only sensual fitness program designed to help women improve their intimate movement and mind-to-body connection. Tyomi's advice has been featured on several platforms and traditional media publications, including Essence.com, Ebony Magazine, BlackDoctor.org, Huffington Post, Comedy Central, The New York Times, and Bay. The list goes on and on, okay? Tyomi currently serves as the resident sexpert and seminar coordinator for the Exotica Expo and is a member of the National Coalition for Sexual Health. Her mission is to empower people to own their sexual identities and live life more sensually. I like that. You see what I did there?
Yes. Tyomi,
welcome to Cultivating Her Space. What's ladies? I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the warm reception and introduction.
You are so welcome. We are so excited to have you here.
Yes, we cannot wait to get into this juicy conversation. And so we are going to start with our quote of the day. And Tyomi, these words will sound familiar to you because these are yours.
Oh.
We all have a sexual ego. And it's okay to pour into it with affirmation and love. I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the back to make sure that you heard this and that you received this. We all have a sexual ego. And it's okay to pour into it with affirmation and love.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Tyomi, when you hear your words,
What comes up for you, and what do you want people to take away from those words?
Oh my gosh. Like I've been talking for years on podcasts and interviews and TV shows. So I say a lot of things, and just hearing my words spoken back to me, I'm like, oh, that girl got some wisdom. And what I want people to take away from this is that it is okay to have like pride and like confidence around your sexuality and your sexual skill, and being prideful about how you show up and about how you are received by others. And it's okay to affirm yourself in that way, because there are so many things in this world that would seek to cast shame upon us as far as like how we choose to exercise our sexuality or express our eroticism. And we're not hearing that enough, that it is okay to have a sexual ego and to pour into that with love and with appreciation and affirmation. Because if you pour into it from the other side, of course, you see what that does, right?
Yep.
It can cause harm. But when mm-hmm. we're talking about love and being dedicated to the mission of love and the vibration of love, if we pour love into our sexual ego, we're only going to reap love. So I want people to take that away from you.
So amazing. You already dropping gems. Okay. You already dropping the gems. Okay. So Tyomi, we have so many questions that we want to ask you, but can we start with your origin story? Can you tell us a bit more about how you became the Tyomi Morgan we see today?
So I'm going to land the plane very quickly because we have so many things to talk about, right? So basically my dad encouraged me to use my natural gift of writing after my modeling career kind of took a shift. And at that time, blogging was like the next thing up. And so I said, okay, I'm going to start a blog then. And after doing some research and figuring out like what I would enjoy talking about consistently and not get tired of, it would also be impactful on the world. I was like, oh, sex. I know a lot about sex. I started studying sex in high school, watching like documentaries and reading books and all of that. And so I started doing research and realized that there weren't a lot of like prominent Black voices that was speaking about sexuality in a way that was really relatable, at least relatable to me. And this was back in like 2009, 2010. There's more voices now, but back then it wasn't, these voices weren't as prominent. And so I said, I'm not going to complain because I'm a solutions-based person. I was like, I'm going to be a part of the solution. And so I started my blog, glamerotica101.com, and it's accompanying YouTube channel, because YouTube was just getting its footing then, and I didn't see sex experts on there doing their thing, and things took off like immediately. And I have a lot of friends and mentors in media. And so at that time, it was internet radio. It wasn't podcasting. Like internet radio was like the new wave. And this was like the birth of the podcasting era. And so I had friends who were in that space and in terrestrial radio. And I started getting interviews like right away because it was kind of unheard of, like a young Black woman speaking about sex so boldly, but also dropping gems and dropping knowledge. And also like at first I was going to be anonymous, and my mentor was like, nope, put your picture on your blog, and because your image is powerful. And I was like, oh, okay. Because at that point, I wasn't really open or even vocal about my personal life or my views on sex or anything like that. Like I was really quiet most of the time and just like observing, like being in the spot, but being quiet in the spot. And so when I came out with this blog, everybody's like, what? Where did all this come from? And I'm like, it's always been there. You just didn't know about it. So that's how it started. It was my dad. And people always ask, like, oh, well, what do your parents think? And I'm like, well, I mean, my dad is a feminist. And my dad was like, you need to write. I don't care what you write about. And when I brought it back to him, he was like, yes. He was like, yes, this is great. Go for it.
Hey, lady, it's Terry here. Dom and I want to take a moment to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. We love you for real. And we want to give you a chance to learn more about what's important to us. So tell us what you think about this.
Imagine a world where you have a chance to get featured on the Cultivating Her Space podcast and share your business, brand, or perspective with millions around the globe. Imagine joining our monthly virtual video check-ins where you can connect with like-minded Black women like you and share your ideas and episode suggestions with Terry and I. Now I want you to imagine a world where you're in the exclusive Cultivating Her Space Sanctuary Slack channel, and throughout your day and week, you are conversing with us about what's happening in your life and sharing funny gifts and your personal wins. How does that sound?
Hopefully this is up your alley, lady, because we are taking things to the next level this year and we're doubling down on investing in our community. That means you.
Yay!
We want to meet you, connect with you, and create communities of genuine women who love on Black women and push our culture and movement forward. We launched this podcast in 2019, and to date, we have not missed a week. We've been great stewards of our platform, all while working full-time and navigating our own ups and downs. We release fresh new content every single Friday, like clockwork, and we have hundreds of valuable episodes and workshops that can really help you uplevel your life. So if you love our mission or you've gotten value from us, we invite you to give back and help us push this community effort forward. Visit herspacepodcast.com and click Patreon. You can learn more about our goals and exclusive offerings on Patreon. And we highly, highly encourage you to join the Sister Frontier so that you can get some one-on-one time with us. We also have an option for you to donate on a one-time basis if that meets your needs. Again, herspacepodcast.com, and you can click that link that says Patreon. All right, lady. We'll hop right back into the conversation.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So I have more questions that came up as you were sharing, but I want to tap into what you just shared about how your dad is a feminist and was like super supportive. And so... Mm-hmm. And in other interviews, you credit like your dad, your mom, and your twin sister for their roles in your journey. So how did their support and their insights shape your perspective on sexuality? And how important is their influence in your work that you continue to do today?
So I will say like sex in our household, it wasn't necessarily discussed. But my parents weren't like anti-sex. Like I grew up in the church and my mom had those conversations with us primarily and just saying like, know your body, be empowered around your body. Cause we started puberty early, me and my twin. And my mom brought us this like amazing book, which still is in circulation, The Care and Keeping of You by American Girl. And they have a 1 and 2. And that book really like taught us about our bodies and empowered us to like, know what changes were going to be coming as we started to grow and develop. And so for her, my mom was always like, listen, just don't get pregnant while you're young because you want to have your freedom to be able to live your life and do what you want to do. And I'm not taking care of any babies. And she's like, and if you decide you want to have sex, then let's talk about it so that you can get on the pill. Like that was my mom's speech around that. Just like empowering us to make the decisions that we wanted to make, but being safe in doing so. And then at that time, we did have sex ed in school. So we got like a good baseline starting 5th grade around sex ed and then again in 7th grade and then again in high school. So now it's not like that, but back then it was. And my dad, like it wasn't until I got like in my like early 20s when I really started to like talk to him and share things with him about like my sex life and romantic life and stuff. So. But I will say the main thing that my parents did was empower me to know that I can do anything and that I'm a leader and I'm not a follower. And they've affirmed me literally every single day of my life. So going into entrepreneurship and going about things in my own way. Like my mom, she's more of a traditionalist, like she's a corporate woman. So for her, she was just like, what's the bottom line? But my dad is the one who has always like, and they both poured into my creative gifts. But my dad is the one that's always like, you can do anything you put your mind to, baby, just go ahead and just do it, you know? And my sister, she was one of my first investors in my business in helping me to secure my booth space at the Exotica Expo, which became a huge platform for me to teach. It was the first organization that gave me the opportunity as a young sexpert to speak to the public about sex, which it's an honor now to work with them in curating their educational content and spearheading their seminar series 4 times a year, every year around the country. And also being a Black woman that gets to be a part of an organization that, you know, it's inclusive, but it's pretty much white facing. So like to be able to represent us and bring more of us into this space, because it's an amazing show. It's an amazing platform. It's open to everyone. But sometimes when you don't see that brown representation, you don't feel like the space is for you, you know? So like my sister investing in me going into that space, like opened up a lot of doors for not only me, but a lot of my colleagues and friends who I've brought along for the journey. And I'm very blessed to have a family that supports me. And like my mom was kind of like, yeah, about some of the ways that I was doing my work, because like in the beginning, I didn't have a budget to pay people for anything. So for YouTube, I was the model in all of my videos, because back then, like, people really didn't want to be seen in a sexual light or an erotic light. And I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to do it myself. And she was okay with that. And I was like, well, I really don't care, lady. Like, listen, I love you, but I don't care. And I'll never forget the first year that I did Exotica, she actually showed up. She took off Sunday. Sundays is always church, but she took off church.
On a Sunday.
To come to this on a Sunday. She took off church to come to this sex show. Okay. To come and support me. And I swear, y'all, I cried. So seeing my mom at this event that I didn't even think that she would ever show up to, because it was so like outside of her comfort zone, it meant so much to me, because no matter what, my parents love me. And they're like, this is your life. You're going to do what you want to do. And over time, when my mom started to see all the great things that I was doing, like the TV appearances that I was doing and like being hired by Ebony and writing for Ebony.com as like their resident sexpert and being published in the magazine 5 times, working for BlackDoctor.org and just seeing how all these opportunities rolled into other things for me. She was like, okay, all right, I see it now. And then when I started to actually like making money as a coach, she was like, all right, there is the bottom line. So for her, you know, it's always about, it's going to be sustainable. Are you going to be able to make a livelihood out of this? And in the beginning, I was like, trust the process, mom. Trust the process. Like, it's all coming, but I have to build it first. And then all of this stuff will come. So I'm very blessed to have a family that loves me and that supports me no matter what, because I've been through the gambit of like creative jobs. Like I'm an artist first and a creative first. And people say I'm hard-headed, but I just like to say like I'm determined and I know what I want. And no one can convince me of whatever it is that I want to do. And if that means I'm going to bump my head, I would rather bump my head and nurse the wound and learn the lesson and go forward rather than having somebody tell me like, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this, you know? So it's been an amazing journey to have my parents supporting me. And every time the naysayers are always like, oh, you know, you must have daddy issues or whatever. It's like, ha, ha, jokes on you.
Oh my goodness. First off, Tyomi, you are so inspiring. I'm probably going to get whiplash from all the nodding I'm doing because I'm just like, yes, like, okay. But I want to say, like, I hate to generalize, but I'm going to assume that having such a strong familial support system on this type of uncharted path is not common, right? And so when I think about the family support that you have, in your opinion, what was required of your family to accept and support you on this unique and I would say often controversial journey? So I know for your mom, it was the bottom line, but like, what do you think people's, like if someone's listening and maybe they're interested in a similar field, or maybe someone is listening and their child wants to pursue this field, like what should they look at within themselves to develop, to be able to support their child on a path like this?
Definitely figuring out what those internalized biases are around sexual health and around sexuality in general. Because the main thing I kept telling my mom was like, I'm a teacher and I'm a coach, you know? And eventually, like later down the line, I got into like you know, erotic filmmaking and stuff like that. But I was like, primarily my goal is to teach others and be a life coach of sorts. And my career is still going to evolve and shift and shape over time. And so it's the projection that people's families and loved ones should really be aware of. You know, what internal biases are you projecting onto this person that's preventing you from truly showing up to support them? And that's where it starts. And the main thing that like my parents and my sister have for me is unconditional love. So no matter what I choose to do in life, they love me. And they know that, number one, they cannot convince me of doing anything outside of what I want to do. And if they say they love me, then they're going to love me regardless of how I'm showing up. Especially when I'm not harming myself or I'm not harming anyone else. And even if I am harming myself or harming others, the love is still going to be there. But of course, the support might be like at an arm's length, right? But because they know what my intentions are and they know that I'm a purpose-driven woman, and that I am doing things with integrity and I'm doing things for altruistic motivations, then they're like, okay, we're going to see this through with her. We don't understand it right now, but it'll all make sense. And 12 years later, it definitely makes sense to them. My sister always believed and knew though, like she's my twin. So she's been locked in 10 toes down with me from the beginning. That's my rider right there.
Yes. I love that. You know, there were many things about what you said that like resonated. So one of the things that like I tell my clients that I work with is that like, one, trust the process. But two, when, as long as what you were doing is not causing harm to yourself or other people, keep doing it.
Yep.
Keep doing the things that you enjoy. And as you were sharing, one of the things that was coming up was this, the concept of shame, right? And part of your mission is to support and educate Black women about sexuality and sexual freedom and removing shame from embracing all of that, right? So can you tell us, how do you approach this mission? And what impact have you seen on the women you work with? Because I would imagine that it's pretty powerful.
So my approach is just keeping it real, and I lead by example. So I am transparent with certain aspects of my life. Not every single last thing, but enough to where the people who follow me and the people who work with me can see the effects of what I teach in my own life. And then making things very relatable and easily digestible for people to be able to consume and integrate into their lives. Because sometimes like this can be a lot of work, especially when you're dealing with intersectional trauma and just things that are impacting your ability to be able to connect with yourself first and then the world around you. So I'm always saying like I spoon feed, but I also make it make sense for the common person where they know that they can do this work and they can do it at their own pace. I always tell my clients, like, slowly, gently, be patient with yourself, be gentle with yourself. You don't have to rush this process, you know? It's a day by day thing. And if you've been repressed for 10 years, don't expect for things to turn around in an hour, or even a month, or even a year. You're going to see progress, but there's going to be layers and layers of things that are going to come off over time. And the transformations that I've seen in the lives of the women who I've impacted are phenomenal. I mean, imagine like being at Exotica, for instance, because this happens a lot. I'm at Exotica and women will come into the show, and even men will come into the show, and some of them will be in tears because they're meeting me for the first time. And I've served as like a mother figure to some, as a sister figure or a best friend to some. and I've helped them through some dark times in their lives, or I've helped them to completely transform how they view themselves and how they view their sexuality, and they're living happier, healthier, freer lives because of the advice that I've given them, or because of the things that they've heard me say that they've chosen to integrate into their lives because they resonated with my voice. And just to see that people are living more pleasurable lives because of the impact that I've had, that's been my mission from day one. And I feel so blessed that I get to show up for people in this way, not only in how I live my life and showing people how I live my life, but in being a coach that is actually embodied, not just studied, but embodied. And that makes all the difference. It really does.
That is so beautiful. I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Tayomi, we saw your poly chart, right? It went viral. I'm sure you've gone viral plenty of times, but this is what your poly chart, and y'all will have to go to her Instagram to see this and we'll share her information, but it went viral and hit everybody in their fields. And we're going to talk about that in just a bit. But what I want to do is can we kind of start from the ground level? If someone grew up in a traditional household, right? And they were taught, whether intentional or unintentional, that monogamy is the only option. How would you describe what it means to be poly and how that lifestyle serves the individuals who are participating? And we can start there and then we'll dig into the chart and all the things.
Yeah. So I'll say, you know, I grew up traditional. You know, my parents are high school sweethearts. They're each other's one and only. And they are monogamous. And I grew up in the church and everything. So I had the example of what that looked like. And I also was kind of like in the middle of my parents' stuff unintentionally. I was just, I've come here as an old soul empath, you know, with like deep knowledge. And so my parents would like talk to me about stuff at a very young age. I'm like, okay. So I had a front row seat to the issues that also arise in monogamous relationships. But when it comes to the ground floor of things, okay, I take it out of the context of sexual attraction or sexual interaction and outside of the context of romantic attraction and romantic relationship. And I put it as simply as this, right? Because polyamory means multiple loves, right? We all have the capacity to love multiple people. When it comes to our familial relationships, our platonic relationships, our professional relationships, even, we're able to, in our friendships, right? We're able to maintain multiple loving relationships in these aspects, right? But as soon as we talk about sex and as soon as we talk about romance, all of a sudden now, here comes the programming around monogamy. Oh, you can only have one soulmate. Well, that's not true, because all the other categories of people that you love that I just mentioned are also soulmates. We have karmic energy and karmic connections with a multitude of people who we've interacted with for multiple lifetimes, and we get to have those experiences with them now to finish out the work that we didn't get to finish out in previous lifetimes. And so we have the capacity to love many, but it is literally a choice when people say, I'm going to be monogamous. And the choice is often rooted around A, cultural conditioning, B, religious conditioning, or C, emotional and energetic capacity. So some people literally are just like, I can't juggle that many romantic relationships or sexual relationships, because in romantic partnerships, there's a lot that comes up. Even more than in platonic, familial, or even like, you know, business relationships. Romantic partnerships are like battlegrounds for our elevation. Like we learn so much and experience so much within those spaces. And some people just don't have the capacity to hold space for more than one romantic partnership. And then there are those of us that do. So when people try to say, we're only meant to be with one person, I'm like, well, do you have more than one friend? And some people might not have friends at all. So I can understand if they just cannot fathom holding space for multiple people, right? But that's where I start. It's right there at that foundation. It's just helping people to realize, like, yes, we all have the capacity to love multiple people. And when it comes to romance, it's no different. Some of us just choose for it to be different.
Lady, I have a question for you, and I'm going to need you to make sure the kids ain't around, and you're going to have to come in close for this one, okay? Did you know that you can squeeze, pulse, milk, lock, whip, and even twist a man in bed using only your vagina? Yes, your vagina. These and many other skills are part of a secret practice called Pompar.
Pompar is so incredibly powerful that Cleopatra was rumored to have used it to seduce Julius Caesar, the great Roman emperor, leading to the War of Alexandria. Our sponsor Goddess, that's Goddess with an H after the O, is the world's first online program teaching you all of these vaginal superpowers step by step so you can completely transform your sex life. Their program is a fully animated, structured course designed to naturally increase your pleasure, multiply your orgasms, and boost your sex drive. The Goddess program is medically backed and gets updated with new techniques and exercises every single month.
Now you know how we do. We like to test out all of our sponsors' products and services before we share them with you. And we tried the Goddess program, and girl, let me just say, I have a strong appreciation for both the content and the visuals. The engaging visuals really made it easy for me to follow along, and it kept me hooked. But one of my favorite takeaways was the emphasis on this being a lifestyle that can easily be seamlessly integrated into daily life. And that's literally how I've been using it. I'm talking about Kegels while you're washing dishes, Kegels while you're at your desk, right? Like all that good stuff. And I'm going to keep it 100. Exploring practices used by ancient escorts added a very intriguing dimension for me. And while this all might drive one's partner crazy, the neurological benefits, such as prevention of incontinence, increased pleasure, heightened libido, improved confidence, tightness, and wetness, it makes it worthwhile. I've been doing these techniques for the past few weeks, and lady, I already feel a change in my pelvic floor.
We know you want in on this program, so right now, they're offering a $100 discount on the program using the code CULTIVATE at goddess.com. That's goddess with an H after the O. GOHDDESS.com.
Ooh, thank you for that explanation. Because I think oftentimes there is stigma around polyamory and having multiple partners. And so for someone who is thinking about starting that journey, right? And they've heard what you said about it is possible. What are some of the safeguards that can help protect a person emotionally, spiritually, physically, as they embark on this polyamory journey?
So let's go with the emotional first, right? Emotional regulation and emotional intelligence are absolutely necessary if you are going to be a person that is hosting and cultivating multiple romantic or sexual partnerships, right? And having a healthy and sound form of communication. Because communication is necessary in order to develop these relationships and maintain these relationships, especially as you grow and you evolve and those people grow and evolve. And especially as things come up for you to rectify and heal in the relationships that you're in. And each relationship is going to trigger different things. That's just what happens, right? So then on the physical side, of course, if you're going to be interacting with multiple people sexually, understanding that there is a sexual network at play here. So you have multiple partners and those partners have multiple partners, because if you are interacting in a poly space with other poly people, then they have a polycule as well. So being aware that we have a multitude of people to protect in this means getting tested regularly, using prophylaxis, protection, and whatever medications to prevent the transmission of STIs. So like PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, or even Doxy, which is like this new medication on the market that's kind of like a morning after pill for STIs. There's so many options that people can use in order to protect themselves. But the main thing too is getting tested and requiring that your partners show you recent tests from reputable testing sites and not just like some bogus test or like, you know, screenshots or whatever. Trust is of the utmost importance within this space. And then spiritually, right? Being a person who is consciously coupling. And what I mean by that is being aware of people's spiritual beliefs, being aware of how people work on themselves spiritually. What are their beliefs? Are their beliefs in alignment with yours? And also, are they connected with themselves, or are they so bogged down with trauma and ignoring it that they're just projecting? You know, are they doing the inner work? Are they doing the shadow work? Because if you're a person that's doing that and you have another person that isn't, well, guess what? You're going to be doing it for them by being in a relationship with them. And it's going to be on an energetic and spiritual level. So being very aware of like people's spiritual beliefs and their spiritual practices is just as important as like, what's your favorite color? You know, what's your favorite food, and where do you like to travel? Like, these things are important too. So when you consciously couple, then you cut down on the spiritual debris, the energetic debris that is picked up. And granted, I'm going to say this once again, in having these karmic partners, anything that is not yours or that is not meant for you cannot be picked up. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and you have a karmic connection with them, chances are, whatever they're putting down, you're going to pick up because it's a part of your path with that person. And having the spiritual fortitude and the spiritual defenses to be able to transmute that stuff is really important. And everybody's potency around this is going to be different. Like, I'm a spiritual alchemist, so my ability to transmute energy is very high. And in my human design, I'm a generator. So that's a part of it too. Which that can get really deep. The average layperson will not understand what the heck I just said whatsoever, you know? And that was a question that came up when people saw my polycules, like, well, all these spirits you're picking up. And I'm like, well, you do know that you're picking up spirits every day. Like, when you're traveling about on the highways and byways and you're passing people, like, our auras extend 5 feet from us all around. So we're already interacting in each other's energy and auras. You know, on a day-to-day basis, you're picking up stuff consistently. So it's important to be vigilant about what you are picking up. And what that requires is having this internalized relationship with self where you know when you're off, right? Because then when you know when you're off, then you'll know exactly, if you have spiritual practices, you'll know exactly what to do to cleanse your aura, cleanse your energy field, and get back to you. So this is not a cakewalk. People think it's a cakewalk. And I'll say, like, the amount of energy that is required to be in a relationship with one person, it requires the same being with multiple people. It's just now you have more people to do it with. And as a polyamorous person, you're not going to be interacting with each person at the same capacity, depending on what your configurations are and how your polyamory is set up. I'm solo poly, so it's a lot different than like people who are in closed containers with a triad or like a quad of like 3 or 4 people. I am spread out. And that's why my chart looks like how it looks like. And people are like, what? How could she hold space for 24 people?
So, can you, quick question.
Yeah.
You use a lot of terms. And like you said, a lot of people are like, wait, slow down. I don't know what this means. Now, you just threw out solo poly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got to break that down for the people. polycule. What is that? So let's take a moment and like break down some of the terms so that the folks listening can be on the same page as us.
So a polycule is basically your network of lovers and friends, right? And being solo poly means that I am my primary partner. I don't have a primary partner outside of myself. There is no hierarchy in my relationships. And I live alone. And all of my relationships revolve around me, but none of them actually interact with each other. So, and then there's no expectation for anyone within my relationship network to like go up in levels. It's just, I'm loving all these people. I'm interacting with all these people. And that's just what it is. And some people will say, like, well, isn't that just you being single, doing your thing? And it's like, no, I'm not single. I'm in multiple relationships. They just don't interact with each other. So my boyfriend is not dating my girlfriend. My girlfriend is not dating my other girlfriend. Like, everybody's dating me. Everybody's dating me. And I'm at the center and I'm receiving all this love and I'm pouring love into all these people. So a lot of times when we hear about polyamory, it's often penis centric. So we're hearing it from a man, and it's in the form of polygamy, where it's a man married to multiple women, right? And it's a one penis policy. But rarely are we seeing women, especially Black women, talk about being solo poly and being in multiple relationships where, like, I'm not attached or married to anybody. It's just me, myself, and my dog with all of my lovers and my loved ones and friends. And I think that triggers a lot of people because they're not used to Black women being so empowered and being so sure of themselves and being loved and being healthy. Because there were a lot of assumptions being made and a lot of things being thrown at me and onto me, a lot of things being projected onto me that were not true. And I'm like, I can understand if you don't understand it, but don't make up stories about my life because you don't know my life. And I will say that in poly circles, there were a lot of people that were applauding the fact that I was talking about it because it's so penis-centric. A lot of times when it comes to this talk, it's always a man leading the conversation. And it's like, can the women please stand up? And can the solo poly women please stand up? So, you know, that's just like a little breakdown of the terms.
That is so helpful. And I'd love to know, Tyomi, you know, we talked about the chart. Y'all will have to go to her social media page so you can see it. And I was looking at the comments too, Tyomi. I love your content. It's so inspiring. I love scrolling down your Instagram feed. And what I noticed is that people often are, there are some supporters and then there are some people who are so triggered, but they're not just triggered. It's just this very negative, just, I want to understand, like, what do you think is at the crux of those types of responses? Because it's just, it's just wild to me. Like, why, this is her life. Why are you so concerned? Why do you think people are so triggered by seeing you or other women or people just be poly in general?
They're so triggered because they actually want that same kind of freedom and happiness, and they don't feel that it's actually accessible for them. And so what they will do is lean into all of the programming that has been indoctrinated into their mind and their consciousness, and they will present that as them being right and them having the right to attack because they feel attacked at my very presence. It literally has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the fact that they just don't have the outlet and they don't have the wherewithal on how to even get to this space. And so instead of saying, hey, can you help me? It's, well, you're not a respectable woman. No man's ever going to want to marry you. You're disgusting. Da, da, da. Like just all this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, it must really be, your life must really suck. You must not like yourself much at all. You must not be living a grand life. I am. Like, my life is lit. And so I learned very early on in my career, like from the first times that I was going viral, don't go to the comment section. Like, don't. So, because you're not going to find anything good there for real. There might be some good comments in there here and there, but a lot of times it's just going to be hate. It's going to be trolls. And I love my followers, especially those who have been down with me for a long time, because they've been in those comment sections like, y'all don't know her at all. And if you knew her, you would understand why she even put this chart out here. If you knew her, you would understand her work and you would understand like that she's a dope individual, you know? And I was just like, hey, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm not going to be for everybody. And I'm not here for those who are naysayers, and I'm not here for trolls. I'm here for people who are activated by my voice and they're activated to take action in their lives. Not those who feel triggered and just want to attack me for it. Like, hey, don't shoot the messenger, okay? Like, turn it back. Turn it back.
Okay. Because it says a lot more about them than it does you, right?
Yeah.
And, Tayomi, we're going to shift up the energy in just a bit, but I want to just call something out really quick. I love, love, love that in your polycule, you said that you are your primary partner. I think people mm-hmm. often forget that aspect and the importance of being in relationship with yourself, going on dates with yourself, and being your own lover before you can invite other people in. So I love that you said that. And I'd love to know, what strategies do you offer to people that you work with who might want to manage potential feelings of neglect or exclusion when they're new to this journey and they're with their partner and they're like, I feel some type of way. Like, what strategies do you offer?
First thing is knowing what your needs are and your non-negotiables and knowing how to communicate that and being comfortable in communicating it. Because I know in my journey, like in the past, I didn't always feel comfortable with expressing what I needed from partners because I just was a people pleaser and just wanting to have like people around, where then I was neglecting myself. And when I started to see how it was not yielding me the results that I wanted, I had to turn away from that. I was like, no, put yourself first. So this whole journey is about self first. If you're going into it for other people, you're always going to feel neglected because you're not actually getting what you want. You're just placating to other people's interests and then sitting back and feeling like this secret disdain for and resentment for your partners and making them enemies when really you're an enemy to yourself. So it's about putting self first. It's about knowing what you need and being aware of what traumas you are bringing into your relationships and being committed to working on those traumas and knowing how those traumas impact your ability to connect and knowing what your triggers are too. Because a lot of people who try to avoid triggers, no, triggers happen to point you into the direction of things that need attention and love so that you can heal it. That's what they're for. People misinterpret triggers. You need the trigger so that you know where you still need to grow. And if you're in a great relationship, you're going to be triggered as fuck. You are. And if you're sitting in a relationship and you're not triggered, and the thing is, it's like over time, it gets easier, right? It gets easier to move through the stuff. And again, with emotional regulation and having emotional intelligence, you understand that a partner might do something to trigger you, and your partner is not the cause of the trauma because it's typically something that's coming up from the past. And we're speaking about healthy relationships. We're not talking about the narcissistic, gaslighting, abusive shit, right? We're talking about in healthy situations where a trigger happens. Sometimes we can project it onto our partners and be like, you're the person causing me the pain. It's like, no, the trauma that's coming up is causing the pain. Your partner just did or said something that triggered it. And knowing how to communicate that so that your partner knows how to support you is so important. Like when I say communication is big, it's huge. And like, I get triggered in my relationships all the time. But I'm at the point in my life where I know how to communicate what I need in feeling supported. So if there is like feelings of neglect, then that means like, okay, what do I need to request of my partner? Because if you go to your partner just saying, I feel neglected, and you're like, okay, well, I spend most of my day with you. How can you feel neglected? You know, so it's like, what do you actually need? You know, and once you know that, then that's the solution. And I think if anything, And this is where I want to show up in support of people on this journey in opening up their lives to like open love. It's helping them to navigate the emotional stuff and like the ego, because when you master that, then the relationships become a lot easier. I was not always up on all the terminology and all that stuff because I made a decision 15 years ago that I was just going to live my life open. Didn't know that it was polyamory. Didn't know I had a title or anything like that. I was just like, I'm going to live open. And then when I got a coach, I realized it was this whole thing, this whole world and all these terms and configurations and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, snap. This is why I like solo poly, because that's like not as convoluted with all the stuff. And I'm just like, okay. But I really know I can help people in that aspect of like knowing who they are, knowing what they need, teaching them how to show up for themselves and advocate for themselves and how to sit in those decisions, even when it feels scary too. And I'm excited to like show up for people in that way.
Oh, yes. I'm listening to this and just like, yes, this is, that's healthy relationships, right? And, you know, when you said about triggers, like when you're in a healthy relationship, you are going to constantly be triggered. But I think people often have a negative connotation with the word trigger.
Yep.
And when I think of it, trigger is not a bad thing necessarily in a healthy dynamic, like you said. It's like a mirror.
Yep.
And so, and oftentimes also in a healthy relationship, you're able to navigate your triggers because there is emotional safety, and that's what makes it a healthy relationship.
Yes.
And so for if someone is the partner and they are recognizing that the other person is being triggered, how can you show up and support your partner? How does one provide that emotional safety for the other person to navigate their triggers?
Ooh. So first and foremost, that person has to understand that number one, it's not about them, right? And to be prepared to be 100% present. So that means putting the phone down, taking a moment to come and be in a quiet and like safe space with that person so that there's no distractions. Because it's kind of like the same process as a mental health first responder. Because when someone is triggered, it is a mental health challenge that's occurring. And so you apply the same principles, right? Asking that person first and foremost, like, you know, how are you feeling? Talk to me. And being an active listener, not trying to interject, not making it about you, and not taking offense to anything that's being said, because sometimes when people are triggered again, they will project and they will project the issue onto you as a partner as if you're the one that's done it. And being able to differentiate between like what that person is going through from the past and what's actually happening in the present is really important. And then asking like, how can I support you right now? What is it that you are needing? And asking those questions, but really being present and not trying to be a fixer. Just be a listener, because they have to be the one to fix it, not you. You're just there to show up in support. And this is why the question, how can I support you right now? Or how can I support your peace right now? How can I bring you clarity right now? What do you need right now? If that person says what they need, it's like, okay, what does that look like for you? You know, do you need this? Do you need that? And really being able to get down to the bottom of what you can provide to help them feel secure and safe enough to move through the trigger, right? And that's how you start it. And this is why it's so important for people to practice mindfulness, to know how to regulate their own emotions. It's very easy to feel attacked when a partner is coming at you like, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. And you realize that they're just calling out for love. So if you can approach things from empathy, a space of empathy and compassion, and hold that space and just sit and listen and really hear what they're saying and not just trying to, like, you know, sit there and hear them just so you can, like, interject and then speak, then what'll happen is you do more of that and you show up in that way consistently, and that is going to give them that data that they process and say, oh, this person can hold space for me. So now I can feel safe enough to fall into this space of vulnerability and true intimacy with my partner, where I know that if I'm triggered, they can hold space for me in this way. And it's okay to give them tools. Like, if you have tools to help them with, like, sorting out what's going on in their mind, it's okay to give those tools after you've asked them, how can you support them? And then always asking, like, do you have capacity to hold space for this conversation? Or I would like to offer you a different perspective, or I would like to offer you a way to work around this. Are you willing to receive it? Consent. We don't often practice consent enough in our relationships. We just want to throw stuff onto our partners because we assume that if we are in relationship with them, that we can say whatever, do whatever. And that's not true. Especially when a person is triggered, you want to get consent to see if it is okay to offer them a different perspective or a different way of processing or a tool that can help them move through in a healthier way. So again, this is work. It's work. And it doesn't always feel easy. And this is why we need support. We need groups. We need counselors and coaches and therapists, because they give us more tools to be able to navigate these spaces.
Ayom, you better go ahead and preach, okay? And lady, as you listening to this episode, y'all go to the show notes and click on Tyomi's information. Go book a discovery call, okay? Go get your coach if this is up your alley and you resonate with this content, because she's dropping all the gems. Tyomi, we want to shift up the energy a little bit before we close out. And because we recognize, appreciate, and celebrate the multifaceted woman, and we believe that it's okay to be bougie, classy, and ratchet, okay? You could still be elegant and dance to strip club music if you so choose. We want to invite you to the OU Blatchet segment. Do you take on the challenge?
I accept. I like this. This is
my app. Yes.
I was like, she gonna like this. She gonna like this. Okay, so here's, now that you've agreed, we got her, Dom. This is what we're gonna ask. So we have three questions for you. We have three sentence completions, and we have three photos of you pulled up on the big screen that we'll show you in a moment. But we're going to want you to choose a number out of 1 and 3, and we'll reveal that photo. And we want you to tell us about the photo. So give us some context about the photo and then share something about the photo that we would not know just by looking at it. So we're going to start with the questions. We're going to ease into the segment. So what is the best piece of wisdom or advice you've ever received?
Oh, keep it real, honey. AKA my mom.
Love that. Come on, mom. Yes. Okay. Now, our next question. I have 4 words for you. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Twerk or two-step?
Oh, wow. This is hard. Hold on. It's really situational, but if I have to choose one, I'm going to say two-step, because I start with a two-step first wherever I go. Then when I relax into the space and I get comfortable and the music shifts, then the twerk comes in. I don't just come into the space twerking. It's two-step first. Then I get comfortable, then it's the twerk.
Okay. I like that. I would try that. I like that. Okay.
Good answer. Yeah. Ease into the twerk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So our third and final question, Tyomi, for this segment is, what's the sexiest item you own?
Oh. Wow. Dang. Because sexy is such, it's like a spectrum of sexy. You know what I mean? You know what? I'm going to say my perfume collection, because people always give me compliments on how I smell. And that's like the thing. Everyone's like, oh, tell me, oh, it smells so good. So I would say, yeah, my perfume collection is the sexiest thing that I own.
Listen, attracting people and turning people on via the sense of smell is a big thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So now our sentence completion. One question or topic I wish people asked me about more often is
public relations. Because I'm really good at it. I mean, of the 12 years that I've been in this industry, with all the accolades that I have as far as like press and media, I've done most of it myself. I've only had a publicist for 1 year, and that was in 2022. But everything that I've acquired as far as press and media I've done it myself. So,
and y'all heard all the names we read off earlier in the bio. That's amazing, Tyomi. So you're not going to believe this. Okay, so get ready. The next sentence completion is the best practice that I would share with you all about public relations is...
I feel all right. So that's crazy. I would say being authentic and being yourself. Like, I'm often a favorite guest of like shows and like a returning guest because I'm relatable and I'm myself. And that's why I get as much press as I do, because the press loves me. So, yeah.
I love that. And we love you. And so, speaking of love, our final sentence completion, what I love most about myself is...
What I love most about myself is my heart. First of all, I love God. I love my creator, and my creator is love, the master key of love. And so I know that I've been blessed with a huge capacity to love people and to pour into others. And that's what I love about myself. No matter what I'm going through in life, I swear I'll just be like, but what about, you know, but what about this other person? What about my dog? What about my parents? You know? And so I really love that about myself, that I have that capacity to love.
That is such a beautiful answer. We love that. So, Tyomi, we got these pictures pulled up. And let me just say, y'all, I want to be as sexy as Tyomi when I get older, because God damn, girl, these pictures. Okay, so choose a number out of 1 and 3, and then we'll share the photo with you on the big screen.
I'm going to go with 2.
Oh, this is so happy, Joseph. Okay. Get ready. So remember, Tyomi, some people will only be tuning into the audio. So if you can describe the photo first and then give us some context about the photo. I am so happy you chose this. Okay, get ready.
Damn. Okay, so this photo is of me. It's an implied nude. So I'm naked and I have a like honey blonde afro, and I am dripping honey onto myself, and I'm sitting on a reflective surface. So this, and first of all, I've been modeling nude and I've been an art model for over a decade. Now, this particular photo was inspired by the Ohio Players. I am a huge music fan, and I'm a huge fan of music from like the late 60s and the 70s. And Ohio Players, they always had these album covers that were quite iconic. And so for their Honey album, there was a woman on the cover who was pouring honey into her mouth. And like, I also saw a photo of Lisa Ray McCoy. I don't even know if she's using that. But anyway, I saw a picture of her pouring honey onto herself. And I was like, ooh, I want to recreate this one day. And so I got with my friend Kevin, AKA Him Over There Studios, and was like, we got to do this. And interestingly enough, this photo stayed in the can for like a year.
What?
I didn't even send him what photos that I wanted edited, because again, I had gained some weight and I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling these photos. So one day Kevin was like, look, girl, I'm going to edit the ones I like. I was like, go right ahead. And he did. And this was one of them. and it came out amazing. And so I told him, I said, okay, in 2024, we need to recreate some more iconic album covers from the 70s, like Ohio Players, Minnie Riperton, Parliament Funkadelic, the list can go on. Like, there's so many iconic, like, album covers that we're gonna, you know, get to do. So
that is so awesome.
That's the story behind this.
Oh, and for the Patreon people, I'm just gonna swipe as you keep talking, Tyone, because the photos get better, y'all. I was just like, this is just the first one. I swiped and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. You go.
That surface that I was sitting on, I swear, once we got done, it felt like a sticker because the honey just stuck to the surface. And I was like, this hurts. So sometimes, you know, like, these looks are not easy to achieve, but we do it. But it was a lot of fun. And it was fun playing in honey. And then I learned that with the Ohio Players cover, that model that they used, she almost like asphyxiated because, you know, honey is very thick. And she was pouring it into her mouth and it was like multiple shots. And so they had to be careful because like she almost choked. I was like, oh Lord, we're not doing that. So I just slightly drizzled the honey. I was like, we're not going to pour this honey into my mouth. All right. Because I can't choke. Like, I got to leave. Mm-mm. I got stuff to do. All right.
Okay. I got a mission out here. Those pictures are amazing. Tyone, you are awesome. Thank you. Although we have more questions, we are going to let you go because we know we've been talking for a while. We'll have to have you back on the show for part two because this was so amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the world. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for you being you. We would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find you. How can they support you? Feel free to share all your information.
Oh, yes. So I'll tell you this first and foremost. If you forget anything, just put Tyone Morgan in Google. My SEO is strong, my search engine optimization, so you can find all of my stuff. Okay. So you can follow me on Instagram at RealGlamazonTyone. You can follow me on Twitter or X, hate it, but X, formerly known as Twitter. At Glamazon Tyone. If you want to join the Cowgirl Workout, you can join us at members.thecowgirlworkout.com. And if you want to access my courses and classes, go to thepleasureacademy.com. Also follow my blog site, glamerotica101.com, and the YouTube channel underneath the same name. And all of my stuff, will be in the link in my bio on my Instagram page.
Thank you so much, Tyone, for this conversation. And I know that our listeners will definitely be hitting you up because I know that there are a lot of folks out there who need support and education around polyamory.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hosting a webinar on January 31st. And it's a free webinar for anybody to register. And the link is in my bio on my Instagram. And if you're watching this after January 31st, the link in my bio will still have the opportunity for you to access that webinar for free. All you will have to do is just register and then boom, you can watch the replay. And there is going to be some offers in that webinar as well. For if you want to go deeper into awareness with me and deeper in support, then those offers will be at the end of that webinar. So options for everybody.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Tyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please note that our show may contain conversations about self-help, advice, self-empowerment, and mental health, but is by no means meant to be a substitute for an ongoing formal relationship with a trained mental health provider. If you or someone you know is in need of mental health care, please visit the Therapy for Black Girls Directory, Psychology Today, or contact your insurance provider.
If you liked what you heard and want to keep the conversation going, visit our website at herspacepodcast.com and be sure to click the Patreon tab to get access to video content, bonuses, and our weekly after show. And before we meet again, repeat after me. My thoughts create my reality. Today, I choose thoughts that empower and uplift me.